The Kudoka Foundation recently launched its latest campaign under the banner of Joan Hunt One in a Million, an initiative that continues to pay tribute to the charity's foundation who died in June. In association with Talk Radio Europe, the campaign has been organised to raise money to convert the house where Joan lived into a children's palliative care unit. Chairman of TRE, Martin Nathan, who devised the campaign, and I'm delighted that he's joining me live in the studio to explain a little bit about what One in a Million is and why it is so important. Martin, well, good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Giles. It's unusual to be sitting this side of the microphone.
Yes, indeed. And for you to be, you know, in the studio, as it were.
Indeed.
So, I mean, we know you as the chairman of TRE, but you've had a long association with Kudoka, and obviously Joan was a friend of yours.
Well, we've been involved with Kudoka for many, many years, and I've been involved with them for the past 14 or 15 years, and as you know, we used to run a telethon annually, haven't done for the past two or three years, but we've raised a huge sum of money over those years. And of course, I got close to Joan in that period, and all the directors, Marisa, Raphael, and was really, really interested in seeing Kudoka and the hospice develop. When Joan passed away, I started to think about what we could do, and it struck me that she really was one in a million, a very unique woman. She had this amazing energy and drive, and she could get everybody around her to believe that what they thought was impossible was possible and could be achieved. And that's a very, very rare talent. It's what enables people to build up huge companies and organizations. And she ran a very successful business as well, and that was her background, had been corporate. So I thought, well, what can we do to actually use her passing in the most positive way as a stimulant to do something really good? And I thought the idea of a campaign, One in a Million, just fitted perfectly with the woman and what she had been and represented to so many people down here.
I mean, people will know throughout Spain what Kudoka has been doing, and obviously the work it's been doing has been quite remarkable. It's high profile. You think of the association with people like Antonio Banderas who've come on board, etc. But it's when we think of, and we don't want to think of cancer and the situation that people find themselves in, but it is generally put as people, shall we say, of a certain age. And when we start talking about young people, more specifically children who need palliative care from cancer, then it's something that perhaps we haven't dealt with, and we need to deal with, to bring dignity at all stages of treatment.
Well, indeed, but what I didn't fully appreciate, and I don't think the listener will, because it's not something that any of us come into contact with that often, is that paediatric palliative care doesn't just cover cancer. Hospices deal with people who have end-stage cancer a lot of the time, and that's where they move to when there is no longer any treatment that can be given to them. But children and teenagers have a completely different profile. The palliative care for children covers a huge range of illnesses. There's almost 400, none of which you and I would ever come across, but a handful that we generally know, the general ones of cancers that affect children. But with children, palliative care starts with the diagnosis, and it doesn't just deal with children who are terminal, because very often they have successful treatment. But as soon as they have a diagnosis that is one of the conditions that is considered suitable for palliative care, that is what they are given. Now, in the UK, which has dealt with paediatric palliative care for many years, there are organisations that specialise in providing it. There is nothing in Spain that provides palliative care for children or teenagers.
So this will be the only one in Spain then, basically?
Unique, absolutely. And there are so many aspects of palliative care for children and teenagers that adult facilities cannot adequately provide.
Mm. I mean, it's not just a case of adjusting the doses. I mean, because we've all been to children's wards in hospital, they're completely different from adult wards. But there are a certain set of specifics that we that are important to put into children's care?
Well, they are. It's not just the dosages, which are obviously different for children, but they have different emotional needs because they themselves are coming to terms with the illness that they are suffering from. Sometimes they benefit from the palliative care because they need the professionals to discuss it with them openly. They, even young children, they say children from the age of three intuitively know if something is seriously wrong with them. But the parents of these young children find it difficult, if not impossible, to have this discussion with them at that age. Whereas when they go into palliative care facilities, the professionals are trained to be able to respond to even a young child's needs, and it's very important for them to be able to talk about it. Equally, as the children get older, they do want to talk about it, but they're aware of how it upsets their parents or their carer, so they withhold having the conversation that they need to have because they don't want to upset the parent. But when they are in the palliative care facilities, they've got a whole range of professionals that can assist them, and they can unburden themselves, and they can come to terms with things that they need to discuss openly.
I suppose having Jones House converted into a palliative care facility specifically for children is going to make it a much different atmosphere, if you like, than perhaps you would get from a regular, if you like, palliative care centre, because it will be solely a unit for children.
Well, what we have now got is a campaign that's actually expanded from where it originally started. The idea that Kudeka came up with, which was Joan's original desire, was for her house to be used and repurposed. They decided they wanted to convert it to a palliative care inpatient facility. As a result of discussing my idea for a One in a Million campaign, they've talked to the trustees and the president of Kudeka, and we have expanded that to a campaign to provide a comprehensive paediatric palliative care support for the province of Malaga. The unit itself is intended to support 100 children a year, and it will offer a comprehensive approach to the needs of the children and their families. So it's not just the children. They've got families, parents, grandparents, siblings, aunts, uncles. All these people are involved when a child, a member of the family, is suffering from one of these many, many illnesses that require palliative care. So you need to put together a huge team. You've got doctors, nurses, psychologists, social workers, physiotherapists, music, art and play therapists, teachers, volunteers. This all has to be put together. And not only will we have an inpatient facility, which will be the converted house that Joan occupied, but there will be daycare and home care. So there are in existence at the moment on the adult hospice 7 home care teams. This will be expanded on the paediatric side to provide home care and daycare. So the Kudeka Day Centre will be expanded for children as well. So we will have this comprehensive approach to paediatric palliative care in the Malaga province.
What's it going to cost? Is the next question I can hear people saying, down the airlines. I mean, what's to actually convert the original? I mean, that was the original idea, was to convert the house. What are the costs to repurpose Jones House for this purpose?
The construction costs and the equipment come in at €90,000. The running costs for the inpatient facility were budgeted at $70,000 a year. Now, to expand that to provide comprehensive inpatient, home care, daycare, with the professional team that will be needed, Kudeka have costed that out, and if we raise £1 million, that will fund the entire project for 4 years, which is a phenomenal achievement.
Right. So then I come to the fun bit. Now we come to the fun bit. How are we going to do this, Martin?
Well, we're going to do this with a crowdfunding campaign that is going to take place on the weekend, starting Friday the 26th of this month, November, and ending at midnight on the Sunday the 28th. Leading up to that, we are still inviting people to become sponsors. Now, I'll explain what this is all about. There are a number of campaigns like this that have been done very successfully in the United Kingdom, where during the short window of the actual funding campaign, people who donate in that period will see that their donation will be doubled. And this is because we have numerous sponsors who have pledged large sums of money in aggregate, which enable us to double the donations that we receive over the 72 hours of the crowdfunding campaign.
Right.
We have a lot already, and we're inviting more people. And anybody can become a sponsor for a minimum pledge of €250. And to do that, they really need to get in touch either with us here. They can just email info@tre.radio with the subject line of One in a Million campaign, or get in touch direct with Kudeka. The contact numbers are on their website, kudeka.org. And all sponsors will be marked forever on display boards in the facility, in the inpatient unit. So there would be boards there with all the names of all the people that have sponsored this campaign. Equally, unless people want to donate without giving their details, we will also have a board for the names of donors, so that we really want to respect and mark the unique contribution of sponsors and donors to achieving this objective.
So just to underline that again, if during the 72 hours, which is running from Friday morning till 12 o'clock on Sunday, if I say, okay, €200 to the One in a Million campaign, it will then become, as an individual, it then becomes 400.
It will.
And just for this period of time?
Just for that period of time.
So you get your double bubble, basically.
You do.
You do. And if I am a company or an organisation and I want to help out, if I pledge minimum of €250, it helps double the money that comes in from...
It helps double the donations that we receive over the crowdfunding weekend. Obviously, that is how we managed to double it, because we have already, ahead of the weekend, we have a huge number of pledges from our sponsors to support this campaign, which is very important. And I found, from experiencing similar campaigns in the UK, that people are very, very generous, and they get a lot of satisfaction from seeing their donation doubled. It really does matter, and it's really important that people get involved and really ring around to anybody they know over this weekend and say, look, please get onto the website, which is oneinamillion.org.es. That takes you to the English language landing page on the Kudeka website, and the payment details are there. You can pay using a credit card, you can pay with a bank transfer, you can pay with BISM. So we've made it as easy as possible. We're not taking the payments here at TRE.
Yeah,
so we just direct people to the Kudeka website, which hosts the oneinamillion.org campaign.
And what's the reaction been like from, because I know there was a big press conference, probably 2 weeks ago now, what's the reaction been like, and how are Kudeka and how is everybody gearing up for this one then?
Well, I'm pleased you asked that, because this is probably the most unique campaign that I've been associated with, because it's spread right across the press of both the English press, the Spanish press, the Spanish communities. I personally was present at the launch to the English-speaking press, and there has been a similar launch to the Spanish press. This is being very, very widely promoted, because this is not just for a small section of the community. It's not just for English-speaking expatriates. This is for everybody. This is for the entire province of Malaga, for any children who require palliative care. And for us to be able to achieve another unique, notable development, which is not just a hospice, the first in Spain, but the first paediatric unit, would be quite incredible.
If people want to check out more information, I know there are links are on our social media via our Facebook page and via our Instagram. Do you have a website where people can go to at the moment?
Or? It's oneinamillion.org.es.
Martin Nathan, chairman of TRE Talk Radio. There will be special programmes running over the weekend as well, that weekend, and we'll bring you some more information as we get near the date. But Martin Nathan, good to have you this side of the desk for a change.
Thank you, Charles.
Take care.